calling my talk tonight A Grounding in Gratitude. And I'll explain what that means in a bit. I've had quite a week. I've shared some of it in the morning meditations, but this last Sunday, I went to the 50th anniversary celebration for the Institute of Archaeology at UCLA. I used to work there, and my old professor was the founding director back in the 70s, and I studied with him, and I went, and I got to give a lift to one of my old teachers, who's 92 and can't drive anymore, and I haven't seen him in years, and he used to give me lifts home all the time back in the early 80s when I would stay for things after class, after in the evening, and miss the last bus. And so it was like this reverse of 40 years later, I was able to give him a lift. And then, and there was a lot of people I saw that hadn't seen in years. So there's a lot of gratitude in that. And then on Wednesday, many of you know, I was sworn in as part of the LA District Attorney's Interfaith Advisory Council here in Los Angeles, which was quite an honor. And then right after that, we went to the DA, that was at 2, and then at 3, the DA was announcing the exoneration of someone, a man who had been in prison for 19 years for a crime he hadn't committed. And he spent half his life in prison, and that the DA is doing a lot. He's very strong on exoneration and reinvestigation of these old cases that probably weren't actually accurate, and a lot of innocent people are in jail. And so there was a lot of gratitude for that day. And then the next day I got to go to a fundraiser for, I had a dress up like three times this week. I went to a fundraiser for this board, this organization that I'm on the board of. It's a nonprofit. And I got to sit next to the woman who was the chair of the State of California's Reparations Task Force, which is the first in the nation. And I was, we were honoring her, and I was just like, wow. And had a lot of conversations with a lot of great people. And then yesterday morning, I went for a hike in Griffith Park, and it was really windy the day before, so it was absolutely stunning. I don't know if you know what it's like when there's a real windy day, and then the next day everything's just crystal clear and it's green and lush because we've had some rain, and there's just this sense of gratitude, for all of these things. And what was coming up for me along with this sense of gratitude was this sense of really being grounded, that this connection to the present moment allowed this being present for whatever was there. And what was there was all kinds of different things, but the reaction or the response that or the emotion that was arising was gratitude, which is really, really lovely. And so I wanted to look at, and I talk or invite you at the end of every, just about every meditation to spend a few moments in gratitude. I find it's incredibly important. It's a really important thing that we should cultivate. Rick Hansen talks about it, how it's really important, really beneficial impact on the brain. So I wanted to look at what, I don't know why, but I said, what did Ajahn Chah say about gratitude? Because I really appreciate Ajahn Chah's teachings. He was a teacher of Jack Kornfield. He was a monk in Thailand in the late 20th century, and really very, very simple in his teachings, but also very profound. And I found some articles written by some monks up at the Bayagiri Monastery, which is a Thai forest monastery up in Northern California. And one of them, Ajahn Pasanal, was talking about how when we turn towards gratitude, or when we're aware of gratitude, it's a way of turning away from negative states. It's a way of turning away from things that are unpleasant or ideas that we get into, these I'm not getting my way, or this is not good, and how come you and not me, those reactivity, those places of reactivity. It's a way, instead of shifting our perspective and seeing what's beneficial instead. And he asked the question, like I always ask, he didn't put it in these words, but he asked the question, what gets in the way? What's getting in the way of seeing the beneficial aspect of some experience? What's the opportunity? And he did talk about Ajahn Chah saying, using whatever's present as a way of moving towards gratitude, of moving towards this recognition of what's beneficial. And he told a story that Ajahn Chah told about some monks who were complaining that they were sick all through the rains retreat. And the rains retreat is this 3-month retreat that monastics do each year, where they're in retreat for 3 months, that they were complaining all through the rains retreat that they couldn't practice because they didn't feel good, they were sick, and blah, blah, blah. And Ajahn Chah said what they should have done instead was to be grateful for the opportunity to recognize sickness and death, to become familiar with some of those, you know, the messengers, the five remembrances, you know, oh, this is sickness. Where instead we tend to have an aversive relationship with sickness, an aversive relationship to the reality of our immortality, when that's actually a very important practice in this tradition, recognition of aging, sickness, and death. And so to shift the perspective of saying, okay, so what's happening? My intention was to sit and practice for these 3 months of the rains retreat, but instead I became ill, or this person became ill, if you're talking about my experience, I became ill, and how can I be that with that? I remember once on a retreat, I had a couple of days where I wasn't feeling good, and I was actually stayed in my room because I was kind of dizzy and queasy. And I was able to what's the sickness like in the body? Be fully present with what's here. And that's what we teach in practice. Teach this recognition of what's here. And how can I be, as Ajahn Chah says, grateful for the opportunity, you know? Grateful for the opportunity to be with and practice with what's present. Gratitude can be, we can begin to use it to see, you know, what do I say, to recognize what gets in the way. So if we're complaining about not being able to do a particular thing, the question, what gets in the way, if we can see what's getting in the way, we can be grateful for that. Oh, it's my craving for a particular experience. It's my aversion to this feeling. And it's not cultivating gratitude so that we can get rid of it, get rid of the crap and find some fake gratitude. But it's a real shift in perspective of like, oh, okay, this is what's present. And really allowing ourselves to release the attachment to what we want. You know, and our capacity, as I said before, our capacity to do this comes with our ability to be present. Because when we're present, we recognize when we're stuck in things. Oh, I was really hoping it would turn out this way. I was really hoping this would be the situation. But it's not. It's not going fast enough. So impatience is coming up. So, oh, how can I be with impatience? How can I recognize impatience? Grateful for the opportunity to work with impatience. Because it's here. Instead of going, oh, I hate impatience too. Ah. Instead of this aversive, I don't like, I want something else, shifting. And having that underlying flavor of gratitude. Which is amazing. If we can walk with gratitude, even for crappy moments, it's extraordinary. You know, we open to this moment, and this gives us the ground from which we see the world, and we're not so hung up on what it must be. You know, and that's why I thought that this groundedness in the present allows us to be grateful, because we are present. We see what's happening. It's like, oh, how can I do this? How can I be with this? you know? Or we recognize joy. It's not all crap. We have the tendency to focus on dukkha, 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 because that's what we stumble over so much. But also to be grateful for the joy. You know, not attached to any particular outcome, but just being really fully where we are. You know, and all that gratitude that I felt this week came from really being fully in the present. You know, there was comparing mine, especially in that interfaith advisory board. I feel so less than. I mean, I feel so inadequate. I look at everybody else in there and go, oh my God, they've done so much more than I have. And then I just go, you know what? I'm here. I'm here. Can I be grateful for that? I get to participate in this amazing thing and perhaps learn. You know, so there's the opportunity to go whatever down that path of self, you know, judgment, comparing mind, or what's happening? Oh my goodness, look at the amazingness that I'm present for, you know, which is such a far cry from when I used to be so dismissive of gratitude, which, you know, ugh, can you be grateful you can breathe? No, there's more important things to worry about. And it's like, I don't know. And I want to read a little bit about what Ajahn Pasano wrote. He said, a lot of gratitude comes when we pay attention to others. This is really important too. And the efforts that they make. Also, when we put ourselves into a frame of mind that's willing to measure things, not just from our own views, perspectives, or feelings, but is able to extend our perception and way of viewing things. How others feel, how they think, how they perceive, then there can be room for a lot of gratitude. There's a network that draws us together. Empathy arises as well. You know, we can extend beyond our own biases. It's an important thing to reflect on because so often we tend to get caught up in how we feel, how we like things, what we dislike, what we want, what we don't want. And we measure the world, measure ourselves, and measure others from that perspective. Compare and despair is a phrase I like. Inevitably, that ends up being very limiting, very cramped and crowded. If we follow this attitude, it's easy to drift into negativity or just not to experience a sense of expansiveness in the heart. And that doesn't give much room for gratitude. So it's an opening up of I, me, mine. We get, you know, when we get stuck on the I, me, mine, the world gets really small. And we can let that go and open up to others. That's what a real sense of the experience I had this week, this opening up to this others. It's amazing. And there's a sutta where the Buddha said, and he talks about people of no integrity. What is the level of a person of no integrity? A person of no integrity is ungrateful and unthankful. This ingratitude, this lack of thankfulness is advocated by rude people. Entirely on the level of people of no integrity. A person of integrity is grateful and thankful. So, Buddha said that's part and parcel of a person of integrity. This openness, this gratitude, this seeing the big picture, this fully being fully present for this moment. I can see this moment. Can I be with this moment? Can I be grateful? Even if it sucks. And that's the challenge. Because we're so attached to wanting a particular outcome, you know? And it's not about, again, it's not about spiritual bypass. We're not denying dukkha, you know, but we inclined, I think Ajahn Pasano said, we inclined the mind towards brightness. What is actually wholesome and good? Rick Hansen talks about letting in the good. He's the one I got the idea of, you know, spending a few moments in gratitude practice because it really has a beneficial impact on the brain. The Buddha also says, gratitude and contentment, these are the highest blessings. These are blessings because they bring peace, they bring clarity. You know, it's not something that we wait around for the world to show up exactly how we want it, But we're present for the world the way it is. And the fact that we can be present for the world the way it is worthy of gratitude. Mm-hmm. It's a way of training our minds, you know, that adds brightness to it. And it's, but saying that being said, it's not necessarily easy because we are so used to seeing the world in a particular way. We are so used to wanting particular outcomes. And you can say, how can we be grateful with the world as it is today? It's such a horrific mess right now. All the horror that's going on in so many different places. Yet, but can we be present? Can we acknowledge that and still be grateful for this moment? What can I breathe in? I'm grateful. Can I breathe out? I'm grateful. Can I be fully present for the experience of sadness? When I think I've had the experience of being really grateful for vulnerability, really grateful for emotions, because for so many years, so many of us keep those emotions bottled up, stuck in a closet. We've determined that these are not okay to feel. But when we can fully live into our humanity and fully open to our hearts, that's worthy of gratitude. When we can be touched by the suffering of others, that is something to be grateful for. I don't want to become an automaton, a robot. It's a really lonely place. It's a very cold place. So the gratitude is a heart practice that allows us to be present for everyone and everything. As Ajahn Pasano said, allows us to have empathy for others and their experiences, because we're not so all about me. But sometimes we need a jump start. And I have this little thing that I found a few years ago that I want to share. And also I'll share my screen. Because it's a way to reflect, and it's a way to jump start, because sometimes we do have challenges with gratitude. So let me just share this really quickly. Can you all see that? And so it's these gratitude prompts. And I'll just share these and see if any of these jump out at you. A strength of mind for which I'm grateful is, or something that money can't buy that I'm grateful for is, something that comforts me that I'm grateful for is, something that's funny for which I'm grateful for, something in nature that I'm grateful for, a memory I'm grateful for, something that changes that I'm grateful for, a challenge I'm grateful for, something interesting that I'm grateful for, something beautiful that I'm grateful for, so these are things we can reflect on. I know people who do gratitude lists every day. I know folks who do three things they're grateful for and text them to each other. So you have this whole chain of gratitude. And what comes into play when you do that kind of thing, you get to experience mudita, joy for the gratitude of other folks. Because gratitude is a beneficial quality. It's a wholesome quality. So when others are grateful, I can be joyful at their gratitude. And you see how this stuff spreads, right? It's insidious in a good way. So I invite you to really see where you can be grateful in your lives, bringing gratitude in on a regular basis. And it's not the Pollyanna kind of gratitude. It's this real heartfelt. And when you're grounded, that mindfulness allows you to have this groundedness when there's this you're not just in our heads all the time, but there's this steadiness, this connection with the body. I think that's a real important part of it, this connection, the somatic connection that you have, so that there's no disconnect between head and heart, that you can be present, be open, and shift perspective into this gratitude of seeing what's here, even if it's uncomfortable. Can we be grateful for that? So thank you, as always, my friends, for your generous attention. And I hope you find some gratitude. And I hope you can find some things to be grateful for. Or even, all right, I'll throw this out there. 3 things to be grateful for. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavich.org/support. Thank you.